Hey Postables, you're listening to Deliver Me a Podcast, brought to you by Casey, Jess, and Cammy.
A special thanks to James Jandrish for letting us use the music on our show.
Now, sit back, relax, grab a Yoo-hoo and a stamp collection, and here we go.
Merry Christmas, Hallmarkies and Postables! And boy, have we got a Christmas present for you today. We are speaking with the one and only Eric Mavius. Hi, Eric.
Hi there. So I know my job for this, our talk today is to try and make you laugh as much as possible. We'll see what happens.
Oh boy. This is going to be a long interview.
So you're in Florida. Where are you, Kim?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, well, you guys are both in luckily warm states for the most part.
Yeah, it was funny when you said the whole Connecticut state takes about 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, you could get to the middle of Texas by four hours.
Actually, honestly, yes, I know. Texas takes like 14 hours or something to go. I honestly have never done tip of the cake to the west. That was a guess. It's probably over 6 hours, but I don't know because I would never do it. If you're out on the Cape, you stay on the Cape, right? You don't want to leave the Cape, and you definitely aren't going to go to the other end of the state if you're out on the Cape.
So right.
It's like if you go to, what would the equivalent be? I don't think Corpus Christi, whatever beautiful beaches there are, you wouldn't go to El Paso directly from there.
No.
No way. Right.
No. But trying to get from Corpus Christi to my in-laws' house, which is what we had to do one time, took 5 hours.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It was interesting. Anyway, welcome back. We're so happy to have a chance to chat with you again.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad this worked out. This was literally the slight calm before the storm. My boys are coming into town. I just got back into town. Some of my laundry's done, but my bags aren't unpacked. They will actually hardly be unpacked before I have to pack them up again. But
I was about to say, might as well just leave some things packed.
Presents are ordered. Laundry's done. Half the laundry's done. The most important things are done.
Okay.
Decorations are tomorrow. I think I had 8 cameos alone to record today. So I have. Yeah, exactly. Doctor's appointments, everything, like getting all the ducks in a row while I'm back in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's that. I hear you. I feel like I've been going day, like running, doing all the things. I haven't even wrapped presents.
Presents? I just ordered presents.
Oh my goodness. The presents are just coming slowly, you know, Amazon that's boxes at our door all the time.
I still have to buy some presents.
Yes. Well, it's so funny because now, because of the supply chain issue and the fact that store shelves are pretty barren, it gives us even more of an excuse to use the internet as a tool and or a crutch to order our presents. And also, my kids are now 13 and 15, so they're old enough where some of the mystery has been stripped back. But now, instead of them making a general list, now we can get really specific about what it is they want instead of you as a parent. One, as a parent, failing by getting the thing that's kind of like what they wanted instead of the actual thing that they wanted, which is awesome because, you know, Amazon, even though it's devouring the universe, it still has options that really can satisfy the Christmas wish lists. Definitely.
It's true.
And you can put the exact item on the wish list.
That's what I mean. And you know, whereas it used to take, you know, 3 trips out at least, and adding that, you know, 10 hours of shopping or whatever nonsense and travel, now it can be done in, you know, 2 or 3, depending on how cooperative your children are.
Yeah.
And what ages they are, I should say.
That is funny.
Now, I have a question because I'm a girl mom. I have a 6 and 4 year old girl, but I have nephews that are 15. What are 15 year old boys into? What were their Christmas presents?
Well, a couple of questions so we get, you know, to the bullseye on this is, do they play sports?
Yes, they play basketball and baseball.
Okay, basketball and baseball. And do they live far away?
They're like right around the corner.
Okay, basketball and baseball. So you can't go wrong, even though some people say, oh, that's not a very heartfelt gift. teenage boys don't care about heartfelt gifts.
Oh, no.
They care about getting exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Dick's Sporting Goods, if you have Dick's Sporting Goods mm-hmm. where you are, you can't go wrong with a gift certificate from there.
That's true.
That is very true.
That is true.
Because yes. not only do kids, they're not sure what they want, but they also sometimes don't like to be told what they want. So mm-hmm. if you give them the power of choice, especially, you know, boys and girls, I think,
yeah.
for different reasons. But I mean, that's easy because of basketball and baseball. Mm-hmm. Dick's Sporting Goods, that would be my first.
Yeah.
Either that or Best Buy. Those are.
Yes. Really,
yeah.
Because, yes.
because of
they're into gadgets. Yeah, absolutely.
They have stuff.
They like
yes.
to hitchhike. Yes, they like to hitchhike.
Yes. That's- hitchhike. Hitchhike to Aunt Casey's house.
Okay, moving made on before laugh. I get into another laugh.
There you go.
I made you laugh. They like Thumb Wars. I don't think they have anything like that at Dick's. Sorry.
Just yeah.
Dang it. I was so close.
Sorry.
Hashtag crack up Cammy. It's a there good hashtag. Go.
Good. Oh my goodness. I had so much fun meeting some postables this past weekend.
Yeah.
Oh
my goodness. We're going to get to that. So hold on to it. Hold okay. on to it. So we have a lot to ask you about. We have a lot of things that we want to know. So let's okay. start off with California. Casey, fire away.
Yes. So word on the street is that you're recently in California, presumably for a project that you're doing. Any teasers on that?
Well, it was for, well, I made no secret of the fact that I've been hiding away in the woods, mm-hmm. Using COVID certainly as an excuse. I, you know, moved out of California several years ago and moved back to my hometown, and have really been enjoying it. However, I'm starting to be able to tolerate the winters less. And also I realized that there were some friendships that I needed to dust off and do some maintenance on, and some friends that had been going through a tough year for, you know, all the same reasons that all of us are and some others. Mm-hmm. So it was a good excuse for me to go to California. And also there is a project that I'm developing right now for a pitch, another pitch for the network, for Hallmark, that I don't want to say anything about before it happens. But you know, I've been producing with Muse, and my producing partner Jim had been doing a couple of Christmas movies the past few years. Mm-hmm. But this is more moving towards the series end of things.
Oh, okay.
That's about all I can say, really.
So
now,
so the word would be that it's moving forward.
No.
Okay.
No. I won't know that till a goodly way into January.
Oh,
yes. So it's but, in the mix.
Laying the groundwork for meetings and just reconnecting. As you know, things have changed over at Hallmark in the last mm-hmm. couple of years since COVID came upon us. So it was good to see old faces and meet some new ones. And, you know, it's nice. I'm not terribly close to the center of it all out here in the woods of Western Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to be in California again. And I'm going to go back right after Roman Drama. In fact, I'll
probably
go directly to California.
Okay.
With maybe a pit stop to see my boys in New Orleans.
So,
yeah. Hmm. So yeah, I can't be, the second I can say something, I will. Trust me.
No, we get it. We totally understand.
And we will be here cheering you on, as all the good postables will be.
So. 100%.
Believe me, it's not crossed. Easy to keep a lid on it, because I am, you know, each day getting more excited the more I work on the idea. So
yeah, and this has been something that has been brewing for a while, because I believe the last time we talked to you had mentioned this I think it was last summer.
And because of the transition, we had to start over again, shall we say.
Ah,
so So, yes, we changed directions. There was a fork in the road and we decided to start from scratch, which is good.
Okay. That seems to be happening a lot. I talked to Feith Sutton, who he's a showrunner for Chesapeake Shores. I know he had a lot of pivoting to do because it was supposed to be 4 episodes or something. Then it went to 6, then it went to 10. And then, you know, they lost their lead. And then it was like, there's a lot of shifting and changing and moving. So
a lot of musical chairs going on.
I understand it can be, so it's not easy.
Right. And obviously there are at any one point in time, you know, I had several things in development and, you know, they brought in new management, a new president and vice president for a reason. So sometimes you have to sort of start over again and get, you know, sort of weed out what you think is not the direction you want to go in. And that's just the way it is, you know, but that's fine. It's just, it just presents new opportunity as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, absolutely. The changes, you know, nobody necessarily is eager for change, but once it starts rolling, I think everyone's going to be really pleased. I mean, the network in all its, you know, glory has to evolve. Otherwise, we're just, you know, recycling the same ideas. And I think it's a good time for change.
Yeah, for sure. Now, speaking of change, you also mentioned during your Patreon Live, which was super fun, by the way.
Was it?
Yes, I had my headbuds in, my kids were asleep, my husband was working on a project, and I'm like sitting there listening to the banter with you and Zach.
She was in the zone.
Super, super fun.
It's so great. I should try and, I wish, I don't know how I could do one before the holidays again, because I'll have my hands full with the board.
I don't think so. You would be able to.
Someone asked me if we could live stream from the Roma drama. I'm like, it's just going to be chaos. Everyone's going to be,
yeah.
I mean, we could set a camera in the corner of the room, but I don't know how many embarrassing things would be captured by that live stream exactly. Because what happens in West Palm Beach?
Days in West Palm Beach, yes. Well, we will be there. So for Postables listening, Cammie, Jess and I will be there. We'll have our phones going.
Oh, geez.
We do have some surprises in store for you guys too. So for the cast even. So more to come. We'll see what happens there.
I am so excited that we're all going to be gathered together. I mean, Gregory and Zach and the 4 Postables. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Zach, it's hard to get Zach out of Vancouver because he's the hardest working man in show business because he also DJs and he's also getting his master's as well.
Yeah.
He's
doing this all the time.
Yep. Zach of all trades.
Zach of all trades. I was trying to get him to stay in town a little longer, but I don't know. He hasn't really committed.
So. Maybe we can pull him in somehow. I don't know. Actually, that is our next question. We have heard Zach talk about you so much. We've heard you talk about Zach. And we just love this relationship that is going on with the two of you. And we were wondering what the bud of that relationship was, because I don't think Zach told us when we talked to him. How did the two of you meet in the first place?
I mean, that's a difficult and easy question to answer. I mean, that's like trying to say, why do you become, you know, really close with someone immediately?
Was it SSD or was it something?
Yes, I met him on set.
Oh, okay.
But the second I met him, there's something familiar with the people I'm closest to. Like, there was something very familiar about Jeff when I first met him.
Yeah.
You know, his sense of humor, I call it like the speed at which someone vibrates. Even though they're two entirely different people, there's something, I mean, it's beyond just a kind of kinship. There's like something that everything kind of lines up, and it's like you get one another in a way that, you know, you can't really put into words. And that's definitely the situation with Zach. Absolutely.
That is just so sweet.
I also think he has such a powerful sense of self and spirit. I was really drawn to that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree. I mean, we've talked to him twice and he just, he has this amazing sense of self, exactly what you said. Yeah. And then, he was talking about how much he adored you. So
yeah, I mean, we text or chat every few days. It's really wonderful. He'll be like walking, because he walks everywhere he can in the city. He'll be walking, stepping into like an audition or a DJ session at whatever the hot place is at the current moment in Vancouver. And he's like, I was just thinking about you. I'm on my walk. Because when we were in town shooting the last SSD, we would just grab a beer and start walking, right? And we would walk around the city. We'd go along the seawall. He wanted to show me certain things, but we'd end up, you know, after several hours, it would have been 10 miles later. It's really.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one way to get your steps in for sure.
Pretty much my favorite pastime when I'm there. Yeah.
Wow.
And speaking of which, I got on, speaking of other favorite people, I had dinner with Gregory Harrison when I was in California a couple of weeks ago, which was so
fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He had meetings down in LA and we had a great seafood meal by the ocean. It was really great.
That sounds delightful. Yeah. He's another one of those people who you just can easily connect with. Such an easygoing kind of guy. And
I mean, the stories that he has and the things that he's seen, I mean, I just, no one can believe he is the age he is. I mean, he just doesn't age. I don't think he's aged the last 20 years. And to be such a good dad to his girls, it's apparent in just his presence and also the advice that he gives, which is, you know, he listens when the time to listen comes, and he doesn't offer advice that's unwarranted, but when he does, it means a lot. There's you know, a sense that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just like a great father figure.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. I'm getting a little misty. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. And when I speak about those two guys, I'm like, oh, I'm getting a little, Zach and Gregory will bring that out in me.
For sure.
It's so true.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other adventures that you've been on lately, you recently returned from ChristmasCon. And we know that you did the panel with Ashley Williams, and I saw some clips. I mean, I won't go into any details
as why not? To
which clips I saw.
No, well, why not? Then you'll intrigue everyone and they'll go find the clips and
Yeah,
I've worked with Ashley before, as you find out when you watch the panel discussion, but she is so much fun and so smart. And, you know, one of those people, she chooses her words very carefully, but without seemingly so. I mean, she means exactly what she says, and she's very smart and passionate. And there's probably a movie together for us in the future. You know.
That would, because when I heard that you had done a project that never really came to light, I said, why the heck not? We need to see these two.
Yeah.
I think think that would be an instant hit, you and Ashley.
Well, I made some, you know, kind of words are failing me right now. And I made a joke about playing off the title of her movies that she's made, Sister Swap.
Right.
She's making a joke about boyfriend girlfriend swap. And I said,
we heard it.
Probably, probably not of the Hallmark ilk, but it could be misinterpreted.
I mean, I feel like that's more like Netflix, maybe.
Yeah.
Lifetime. Well,
one could, you know, one could take it the wrong way, just like when one of the possible jokes out there was when our show first started airing, someone made a reference to Touched by a Postable, and we thought that wouldn't necessarily you know it wasn't exactly on brand.
Not exactly. All right, we're going to move into what every postable wants to hear about. Let's talk about the vows we made for a second.
No, sorry, just kidding.
No. The vows we've made. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, yes, let's talk about it. I'm going to need some more water for that.
Yeah, you probably will.
Oh man.
Because wow. The three of us, Jess, Casey, and myself, we all got on a video call and then turned on the movie at the same time so we could all watch it together. Mm-hmm. And I took screenshots of our reactions because they were just so raw.
And you guys, like every 5 minutes, you must have been like, wait, rewind it. Wait, rewind it. Wait, what? What did he say? What did she say? What did she say?
I will say, as soon I was good. I mean, I was very heightened at the very beginning when you see everything happening at the hospital. But as soon as the music came on and you see the title screen and it said "Signed, Sealed, Delivered, the vows we have made," I started crying.
We all started crying.
I'm not usually this emotional, right off the bat. But it was, for me, it was just the fact that we had all waited so long for this, and it was almost is this even really happening? Are we actually watching this movie? Like,
I agree.
Right now,
you know, I mean, it's funny you say that because it made me think of a cameo I was answering today. Someone asked for my favorite to read as a Christmas wish. Read my favorite line as Oliver from the show, and that's like, you know, choosing your favorite animal, you know. Yeah. It doesn't work very easily, but I realized once I got into it, it was very easy to choose, but I got very emotional just reading through. I thought about my favorite movies along the way. Mm-hmm. Impossible Dream, the speech that I make in front of the Senate committee is
incredible. One of
my favorites to have delivered, but I realized that the sum total of what we had done all comes together in the vows we have made. Mm-hmm. And that I had to find something that really summarized and got to the very heart of Oliver's journey and all the pain and suffering he endured and all the love that he received. And it was about, completely blank. Why he became a postman. You know, when he was a boy, he wanted to, and when he was a man, he had to. And I can't even say it without starting to get choked up.
Yeah. So,
but I did read it in the cameo without getting choked up.
Oh, good.
Because I was reading off a piece of paper, so I got the quote right. But when I talk about it, I'm really recalling the emotion. So his journey and the fact that, you know, that Martha really did an amazing amount of homework to make the vows we have made what it is, and to honor people who are just coming to the show, and to honor those that have been there since the beginning and everyone in between. But there's so much, like you said, there's so much lightness and weight at the same time what we bring to the viewing experience now. It's, I mean, we're just at the read-throughs, as I'm sure you've heard 1,000 times now, each time we gather together for these movies, it's even heavier and more wonderful somehow. That, because we also don't know if it's the last one. So we pour our hearts and our souls and our whole beings into this. And we fall in love with one another a little bit more each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and watching Oliver's journey, watching everything come to a head for him, watching him wonder, why is this happening to me? What is going on with me? And to see him realize why he is being the way he is and why he's been so skittish. Mm-hmm. And then to see him kind of come to terms with that and resign himself to letting Shane go. Oh my gosh. I mean, I started bawling my eyes. I was like, no. Yeah. It was such a moving journey. Yeah. And seeing you flesh it out in all of those little ways that have built up to make you Oliver, when we see you on that screen, it was powerful. Mm-hmm. It was very powerful watching, especially with the flashbacks, watching where you had started and seeing where you were. It was lovely.
Just masterful the way that Martha wove Valerie Harper storyline, mm-hmm. and Marion Ross and Jordan, the angel, you know, mm-hmm. it was really, it's a lot. It's really, yeah, it's hard to talk about it and not get choked up. It's strange.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that that feeling of Oliver jumping off into this abyss, but not necessarily of destruction, but this leap of faith, I guess it's more appropriate that he has to share this thing with Shane, and mm-hmm. he doesn't know if he's going to lose her in doing so, but that everything he's done and experienced has brought him to that moment. And the source, the catalyst for this realization comes from the most unlikely of places as well. Someone that, you know, Shane's mother, who he's decided that she's on her own path and she's not really ever going to get what I'm about and what mm-hmm. our, you know, what Oliver and Shane's thing is about, and he'll be polite. But the fact that he's knocked out of his orbit, it really paves the way for this realization in such a master, really just wonderful way.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish such an arduous journey would pay off the way it did in the movie, as it does. Sometimes it does in real life. I mean, mm-hmm. it just takes longer. It usually isn't wrapped up in, you know, an hour and 50 minutes.
Right. That'd be lovely.
Right. I mean, that scene with you and Sherry, I mean, it was incredible. And it was a scene that I wasn't totally expecting, because the characters were at such odds, but they were so familiar at the same time.
But that's, I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. The fact that Martha would have it come from mm-hmm. the least likely place allows it somehow, it has more validity. You know, you don't see it mm-hmm. coming.
Yeah.
Which is
what you definitely do not see it coming.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, I love Martha's writing, because you have to check off certain boxes mm-hmm. with these movies, right? But she, sure. the way where you start and where you end up, you have no idea how you're mm-hmm. going to end up there, which is why I think people really continue to find their way to SSD, mm-hmm. even, you know, with the COVID excuse of people being locked up. I think it's, you know, we have dozens of new followers every day, and it's it makes it exciting. You know, it means that, you know, we put something into the world that resonates, and hopefully still will. It's my mm-hmm. understanding that Hallmark is still open to the possibility of future movies. That's what I understand. And I think
that it's good news.
Yes.
Things lining up and finding the right tact, and, you know, Martha having a second to devote to this, because mm-hmm. She now has two daughters in college, so she's struggling, you might say. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, speaking of potential future movies, future
Since
stories,
we opened that door.
We'd like to know, now that Shane and Oliver are married, what would you like to see them tackle next? I mean, these last 18, 19 installments have been really an arc for Oliver, essentially. I mean, he opens the series, he also closes the last movie, and he closed To the Altar as well. And, you know, every postable goes through that journey, but I think really SSD is kind of almost through the lens of Oliver. Like, it's a very Oliver centric in the fact that he goes through many situations, like with Holly, or, you know, realizing the truth about his biological father, going on this journey with Shane. And I know there's people out there that are like, oh no, this is the last movie because they got married. But, you know, it doesn't always, it doesn't have to end there at the altar. It
can- on the contrary, I think this is a real true starting point. Mm-hmm. Like, I think absolutely this is the beginning of Oliver just starting to accept his shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a whole different part of him, not just because of the commitment that's been declared between the two, but the understanding that he's starting to live his life in a mm-hmm. full way for the first time in his life. It's powerful beyond measure. And I really think that there are, you know, we've introduced the ability the opportunity for philanthropy because of the foundation started. Mm-hmm. But also, I still think that there's some wonderful comical gold to harvest with Steve and him being in DC and the powers of postal. I can't think of the words right now, but us using our abilities for the greater good. Mm-hmm. And those are really, like, I think, really rich minds for us to explore.
Yeah,
really.
So that's what we're going to tackle next is Steve, if you had it your way.
Well, no, the fact that he's government liaison, yes, and he has helped us at really crucial times. It also creates some tension, but also instead of there being just, we're moving past that sort of sophomoric, mm-hmm, jealous boyfriend-girlfriend thing, and there'd be great parallels between, I really like the character of Charlie a lot, mm-hmm, I think. What the actor did with that part was amazing. And I think what Martha did with the writing of that part was amazing. And I, mm-hmm, think the parallels of them raising a child and Shane and Oliver maybe having a child and showing the sort of comparing and contrasting, I think there's a lot there.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that Oliver is going to have the same kind of fear and the same kind of apprehension about being a father that he did for getting married?
Knowing what he's learned and knowing what Martha creates, there's not going to be anything the same.
That scene with Oliver and Norman, like, just get her something simple, something that'll last her for the next 50 years. 50 years! You're getting married. Didn't you know that?
He didn't make it very far with Holly, so he was a little gun shy for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Postables, we're just taking a quick little break to talk about something fun. How would you like to party with some of your favorite Postables? Eric, Kristen, Crystal, Jeff, Zach, and Gregory. If you enjoy Signed, Sealed, Delivered, which you all do, you're listening to our podcast, you don't want to miss out on the Rama Drama Live event coming to West Palm Beach, Florida in January of 2022. Spend the weekend escaping into the Rama Drama world and meeting your favorite on-screen celebrities. These fan-focused in-person parties cater to movie lovers just like you. Make memories, leave with photos, autographs, swag, and an exceptional experience to last a lifetime. Join us in West Palm Beach on January 7th through 9th at the Palm Beach Convention Center. You can buy your tickets at ramadrama.com.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you said it was like, it's kind of a beginning for Oliver, because when I was watching this, it really felt almost like a pilot in a weird way.
It did.
Maybe I'm one of the few, but I felt like, I don't know, this doesn't seem like an ending to me. I felt like To the Altar felt a little more final, because, you know, like, they got, you know, he proposed, they're getting married, you know, we know that's all good. But this one, like you said, opened so many doors for so many more possibilities. And so fingers crossed that we get more SSD.
I agree. I mean, it was in a lot of ways a sort of review of where we've been, mm-hmm, but also, you know, looking back, but also looking toward the future of all the possibilities that were sort of laid out before us, you know, especially with the narration, the closing narration, it was, mm-hmm,
yeah.
And did they solve that letter that they found in the street?
What did he say? Yak milk or yak something?
Yeah. It smelled like.
Oh, it smelled yak. Like yak. Yeah.
Oh, like yak. I thought it was like, anyway. Well, that's another line from another movie I did. Sorry.
I don't know how you keep any of them straight with all the projects.
They're just one movie, essentially, to me.
One giant.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It was like that when I was doing Ugly Betty as well, because we were shooting sometimes three different episodes at the, mm-hmm, same time.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the very anticipated event coming up, Rama Drama.
Oh, my goodness.
Yay! Oh, man.
I am so, is it, I thought it was, is it Rama Drama or Roma Drama?
So I've pronounced it Rama Drama, but.
And they haven't corrected you.
They haven't corrected me.
Okay, good. Okay.
So we'll see.
I thought it was romantic drama.
I thought it was Roma Drama. And then I heard it referred to as Rama Drama.
I guess it doesn't matter. We're going to be there. Or as many of us as can be there will be there. But I am so excited. And going to Christmas Con kind of got me fired up for this because, it's just just understanding. We interact via social media, but to be able to see some of the postables face-to-face, really put it in perspective. And we're all going to be excited to be gathered together where the weather is warm. Mm-hmm. The drinks are delicious and the ocean is close.
Yes.
How can we not have a great time? Was that a good advertisement for?
Oh, Roman? Incredibly.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The check's in the mail.
My understanding as well, it's rare this gathering because it isn't a typical by any stretch of the imagination, a typical convention. It's not people lining up per se. There are a lot of chances for all of us to hang out and interact, which will be much more informal and I think more fun, really.
Yeah. There is a good group of postables going. It's large enough for us to really get to, meet everybody that we've been interacting with online, but still small enough that we can, have those purposeful, intimate conversations with each other, with you guys. And so I think Gabrielle and Sarah are doing a really great job of making sure that it's not just a, everybody line up. All right, get yourself, get your autograph. Goodbye.
It's meaningful.
It's very meaningful.
Oh, great. And it's my understanding, aren't there going to be some SSD specific events?
Well, yes, there are.
Yeah,
why? Yes, there are. Funny, you should mention that.
Could you tell us a little bit about those? I'll do the interview. Don't worry.
We can't yet.
Oh, well, no, but the Kristen, the opening night thing Kristen's doing, that's been advertised on the site, right? She's auctioning off.
Yes. There is the karaoke.
You guys can't tell us. I don't even know. Wait, you're not going to tell me about some SSD event? You can't talk about
them? I mean, did we sign something? Did we sign an NDA?
It's like you asking me about.
Anything, but...
It's like you asking me about a script I haven't written yet. Like, what am I gonna say? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know which parts they're gonna allow me to keep and get rid of. What we're gonna keep and get, so I can't really answer the question. Anyway.
I mean, a little birdie has kind of told us. I don't know which one of the three little birdies, but a little birdie mentioned some maybe postable themed games.
Wow.
Amongst the cast and the postable audience.
Okay.
And said birdie may have asked us if we would help out with said events.
Hosting?
So great.
Just to tease everyone watching the podcast.
Oh yes, absolutely. Perfect. And I mean, there will be some questions that will be answered in fun ways, like game shows.
Trivia game shows, SSD trivia.
You better start brushing up.
I would start watching if I were you.
The thing is, you guys don't realize you watch it as a whole.
Yeah,
we're like,
oh, I know.
We have to take care of our corner of the universe as well as we can. Yeah. Otherwise, the whole won't be put together, right? So, and that's not just me sugarcoating being, self-centered. It's not that at all. When I have
there's so much that you have to keep track of.
Oh, yes, for sure.
The long runs that Martha creates for all of her are linguistic gymnastics, to say the very least.
Yes.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah. But fortunately, she's eased off over the seasons, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Remember some of the monologues I had in the DLO early on were just not to be believed.
Yeah.
They were a little bit of tongue twisters too.
Sometimes she would admit she was kind of trying to see what the limits were, like if I was actually, because she was ready to, cut some things. Right there, she needed to, but I would not accept defeat.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Well, so I'm sure you'll have a lot of friends, and you know, if we do some trivia, there are hundreds of them. You know, phone a friend, 50-50.
Yeah, I'll have to do like in Cash Cab. They have a pullover and they can ask someone a question out the window or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Cash Cab, am I dating myself? I don't know. That show was like.
Now, one event that we can say for certain is going to happen is karaoke night. And so.
What night is that?
Friday, I believe.
Be Friday. Mm-hmm. And so we want to know, what's your go-to karaoke?
Yes.
My go-to karaoke is standing in the back of the room and watching everyone have fun.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, really? I am the least extroverted actor you'll come across, generally speaking. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, so no, you're not willing to get up there and
I spend take enough one
for
the team time
and sing for us?
Oh, no, no. You don't want to hear me sing. But also, I spend a lot of time in front of the camera. I love going to karaoke with friends and watching other people enjoy themselves, because they really, generally, it's someone who's not used to performing, unless, I mean, I'm sure there'll be certain people at this gathering who will have to be forced away from the microphone who are already performers. Yeah. That's tactful.
Sure. Well,
I'm not one of those.
That was very diplomatically said.
Okay, great.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. Cause you have your, maybe it's music club. So I was thinking, you know, maybe, okay. So we'll switch the question. Yeah. Do you have a karaoke request for a postable to sing?
What's a song you would love to hear sung?
Oh, I would love to hear Jeff sing anything. Really anything.
Okay.
I think we're not dissimilar in that, in that arena.
Maybe we can get Zach.
You might.
Maybe we can get Zach to sing something.
Zach is a great sport. And it's not that I'm not a great sport. I just, you know, I don't like the sound of my voice. And I derive more pleasure from watching other people enjoy themselves than me trying to stumble my way through a song.
So if you wanted Zach to sing a song, what would you ask him to sing?
I have no idea. I'm on the spot. I have no idea. No idea.
No, the door is open.
I have the Mavius Music Club for a reason. I love music. That's again, I mean, you see the playlist I started. I don't know if you guys are followers, but it's.
Yeah, it's extensive.
It's over 40 hours.
Yeah.
I know that. So, and I'm so hungry for new music all the time. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not deflecting the question. I just had, what would I have Zach sing? I've never seen my fellow actors do something like that. So anything they would sing would be such a hoot to see. I mean, that would be amazing.
That's true.
That's a great answer right there.
Yeah, it's true. Well, if you think of one in the next 20 days or so, you can always shout it out.
I'll put my brain on that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, being the time of year that it is, we wanted to just end up with some fun holiday questions for you.
Yeah.
So get you in the spirit of things before your boys show up.
Mm-hmm.
So fire away, Casey, with the rapid fire Christmas questions.
Uh-oh. Yes, rapid fire. Okay. All right. So what is your favorite holiday drink?
Eggnog.
Cookie or treat?
Cookie or treat.
Favorite cookie or treat.
When I was a kid, we would make snickerdoodles, which is a sort of like a Pennsylvania treat. It's sort of specific to the Northeast, but snickerdoodles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
my mom made them all the time.
I think it's like a, I don't know if it's Pennsylvania Dutch or German. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. The Pennsylvanians are very big on cookies. I do know that. I do know that. My sister-in-law had a giant cookie table at her wedding. They're, my husband's from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. So yeah, cookies. It's a big thing. All right. What is your favorite Christmas song? Speaking of music.
I can't pronounce it, but it's Bing Crosby, the Hawaiian song.
Mele Kiliki Maka.
Yeah. And anything like, honestly, the Gene Autry album, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
And the Burl Ives songs from the Frosty.
Oh, I love Burl Ives.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the stuff from those the claymation movies that we grew up watching. But
yeah,
that was not one answer. That was several, but.
That's okay.
That's all right.
So while we're on that topic, favorite Christmas movie?
I have to say, I mean, it's heavy. It takes a lot of energy, but It's a Wonderful Life. And on the other end of the spectrum, Elf. Yeah. I mean,
those two could not be farther apart.
Correct. But you check all the boxes when you watch those two, right?
Right. True. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you prefer Scrooge or the Grinch?
Grinch.
All right. Clear lights or colored lights?
Both.
Ooh, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, do I have I have some lights right there.
Oh,
that's fun.
Up in the loft. Yeah, there's some lights around. Those stay up all year long. My college dorm room, I had, you know, because I used to love going to Indian restaurants in the East Village, New York. And there was one called Rose of India that had probably 30,000 Christmas lights on the ceiling easily, at least 100 strands. And I always loved that feeling because when you're a kid, you wait all year to put the Christmas lights up. And I was in college and I thought, hey, I can keep them up all year long. No one can tell me otherwise. So
there you go. So I'm a grown up now. 1,000
strands on the ceiling back and forth. So,
yeah. I love it.
That's so fun.
Yep.
Snowball fight or building a snowman?
Snowman. Because with two boys, it always ends in tears, a snowball fight.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Always.
Do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
No.
Okay.
Because my mom is expert at it.
Okay. Yeah. So by comparison, you don't consider yourself.
I mean, if I have enough time, I'm good at covering up my mistakes. I've gotten better at covering up the mistakes.
Okay.
Which is, you know, just like with whatever rudimentary carpentry work I do, you know, the trick is to learn how to hide your mistakes.
Yeah.
Hey, I've seen some of that work and it's not rudimentary. It doesn't look like it to me anyway.
Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater? And if so, what does it look like?
I don't have an ugly Christmas sweater.
No. Well, we know where we're getting him for Christmas, Casey.
There you go. With a bunch of tiny mailboxes on it, you know.
Great, perfect. You couldn't believe the Christmas sweaters I saw last weekend.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Because they had an ugly Christmas sweater competition, I guess.
Yes. I did see some of those pictures. I'm like, wow, these are pretty wild.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So
impressive.
Okay, so you told us your favorite Christmas movies. Now, if you had to be trapped in a Christmas movie, which one would you pick?
I think Elf, because it has such a happy ending.
All right.
And he always maintains his rosy outlook. I mean, through 90% of the movie, which I, you know, I'm constantly working on.
Okay.
As a person.
Alrighty. If you were Santa Claus, what type or types of cookies would you want to be left out for you on Christmas Eve?
I was going through this phase in college. We would make something called monster chunk cookies, where it had just big, huge chunks of dark chocolate and peanut butter. So it was like a chocolate chip cookie essentially, but it had oatmeal, it had peanut butter, and it had a huge chunks of chocolate. And that's my favorite.
That's delicious.
That sounds so really good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some, because it wraps, and you know, there's no raisins in there to feel all like eyeball-y, kind of weird in your mouth. But there was like the chocolate you could taste, not the, I like chocolate chips are fine, but they don't taste like real chocolate to me. And having the oatmeal to bite into, and you're getting hungry. Look at you. You're getting hungry. I saw you salivate. I saw you.
I'm starting to lick my lips.
You know, I really do love a really good cookie, and that sounds up my alley.
You're like, chocolate. Yeah.
What's the most memorable tradition from when you were a kid?
When we would, we lived in the country, very far in the middle of nowhere. And we lived sort of several hundred yards at the foot of a mountain, really in the middle of nowhere. And we didn't, because of that, we had a lot of pine trees, a lot of maple. We didn't have to go, and we also didn't have any money, so we wouldn't go and buy a tree. We would wander around, and some of the trees we cut down may or may not have been on our property, because there were vast tracts of land that nameless, faceless people owned. There were no houses. It was back where there was no frontage. But I loved sneaking around in the middle of nowhere without anyone possibly ever being able to see us, but my parents would sort of make us feel like we were being clandestine about it. And my dad would like rub dirt on, after he'd cut it, he'd rub dirt on the thing to make it look like it had been cut down a long time ago. So it's very, very funny. So that, I think that was one of the things that I remember, which is brilliant. An odd memory. And we were so into Christmas when we were kids. One year, my parents let us have our own tree in our bedroom, as well as the main family one. It was a smaller one.
Yeah. That's super fun.
You don't really hear about very often. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, my girls have a very small, tiny, like 6-inch to a foot pink Christmas tree in their room.
You have to have a pink Christmas tree in Florida, don't you?
Of course. Christmas trees and Christmas palm trees.
So. It's like a flamingo leg tree.
Yes, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. With a palmetto standing next to it with lights.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. Great.
And no, my Christmas lights are not made out of cowboy boots.
They're not? You got to have at least one strand on there. Why not? 10-gallon hats? One-gallon hats?
No, sorry.
Well, you know, Texas is a big state.
Yeah.
Very. All-encompassing.
By the way, one of my favorite cities in the world is Austin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a dear friend who lives there. Yeah. I love
that. That's where I'm from. I don't live there anymore, but I was born in Austin and then just moved 10 minutes north and lived there for very long time.
I was in Austin years ago to shoot a film. It was in the 90s, late 90s, called On the Borderline. Marley Shelton was in it. Arlie Ermey was in it. That was amazing. But it was the second night I was in town, and they took me to the Broken Spoke down on South Lamar. It's a very famous music venue, local music venue. But I saw Don Walzer there. They call him the Buddha of West Texas. And he played slide guitar. And it was a very, it's stuck with me, obviously. I love it.
Apparently.
That's awesome.
And I was there for the television festival for Ugly Betty several years ago. That was fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Stuff. In Higher Ground, when it says Austin, Texas, I'm like, oh, I got all giddy. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know. Is that?
That's funny. That's so funny. Yeah, we didn't have locations in the budget for shooting in Texas, unfortunately.
Bummer.
I do.
Well, I have one last question.
Okay.
Last question for our rapid fire Christmas section is, what was the most memorable Christmas present you received as a kid?
It had to be my first. I always got hand-me-down bikes. Presents. But I I was probably, I want to say fourth grade, I believe. I'm not sure exactly. I got a brand new Huffy bike that had yellow mag wheels and a yellow bumper. That was a pretty famous model or popular model, but it was brand new. And I had never had a new bike before. I was so excited. I felt like it was a spaceship for some reason. I don't know why. I just thought it was the coolest thing.
That's like Ralphie getting the air rifle.
Yep. And I guess that night, while they were still, as most parents do, they were still assembling some of the gifts.
Yeah. And they could have
had wrapped. But I came down to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. And it was tucked around the corner. And I was just kind of like sleepy, rubbing my eyes, whatever. And they were just kind of hiding the edge of the tools and everything that they were doing. And
yes.
Another year in which Santa stayed alive and well for me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And that is, that's every parent on Christmas Eve. I remember we were setting up our girls, their little play kitchen. It was like, it was terrible. All the little pieces and all these things. And we're like trying to be quiet. And then it was frustrating. So then we're like, what are you doing? You have to put this.
How many of us, like every year you're like, I'm not going to forget that bag of presents that I stuck in the blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yes.
Every year. It's like January 10th. And you're like, oh no. Like you find that bag when you're cleaning something out or putting decorations away or something.
Yeah.
Like, almost every year I do that, pretty much.
Well, because if you don't hide them well, then they find them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, like I said, that's the good part of them getting a little older.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really
stay out of this closet.
Right. They can find the present, but they can't do anything with it because they're not unwrapping or not opening it and using it. So.
Right. Right. Well, you did great. Rapid fire fun questions.
Thank you so much for this, Eric. This has been so much fun chatting with you.
And I'm going to see you all.
Postables.
I'm going to see you in a few weeks, right?
Yes. Yep.
Don't forget Rama Drama, January 7th through 9th in West Palm Beach.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to get me one of those. Oh no, I won't have to wear a hat because it'll be baby New Year. Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. I guess there's some rumor going around about Ugly Hawaiian button-up shirt contest.
I haven't heard that, but
I think there was something advertised on the website about it.
I could see it happening.
I could totally see it happening. So, in West Palm Beach, you're in a tropical area.
Yeah,
it fits.
Yeah, it's slightly more tropical than Western Massachusetts.
Right,
slightly.
Right.
I will. I'll be home just long enough to I won't get sick of shoveling snow, but the day my boys, Saturday, we're due for a big snowstorm. So the boys will land in snow. They'll love that.
Well, let's hope that the plane gets in.
Well, where they land, it's warmer than where we live. So it's supposed to be rain down. We're at a higher elevation where we are up here, but we're supposed to get up to 6 inches. So that's exciting.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah.
Also, Eric, where can we follow you on social media? Is there anything you would like to shout out?
I'm not so big on Instagram, but Twitter is my go-to, but also Patreon is a site that I've really enjoyed coming to because, as you know, I love working outside as much as possible, and I tend to share my projects with people that subscribe, and it's never dull, and I'm always making things up as I go along. And for those of you who live in warmer climates, it's kind of fun to get a taste of winter up here in New England.
Definitely.
Yes.
And cameos, of course. I'm busy with those, especially around the holidays. It's so much fun. I just love, because we don't have a ton of product going out all the time because of COVID. It's nice to find new ways to interact with the people that love the show.
For sure. And you never know who may pop up in your Patreon.
You never know. Like the live stream I did with Zach Santiago. That was so much fun.
Yes.
More of those. I'm going to try and get Jeff to do one as well. So.
Oh, that'll be fine.
That'll be a hit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All righty.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to bring this to you. And Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. For more juicy details and to hear what's coming up, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at DeliverMeAPod and on Instagram at DeliverMeAPodcast. And please check out our merch store for tons of Postables-inspired merchandise to enhance your fandom. See you next week!